Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, Jill Derby, the cultural anthropologist. We're going to talk about the failure of the Middle East peace talks. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Michael Hackett, Stacey Woodbury, and Howard Rosenberg. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI Water and Sewer Companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard, while biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Jill Derby. She's the former Nevada Democratic Party chair, but is also an expert on the Middle East. Pleasure to have you back on the program.
It's great to be here.
Let's talk about the Middle East peace talks. And it just seems like we have gone down the same road again with the same result. And John Kerry has spent so much time and political capital. What do we end up with?
Well, I couldn't agree, and it's disappointing. There was a spark of hope there with John Kerry, and he's put a lot of effort in it. But there are really intractable differences, and it's really hard to see. What's interesting is to hear the different pundits opine on the subject, whether or not it makes as much a difference now as it has in the past. Some feel like there are bigger issues that we need to focus on. The Middle East, Iran is an example of that. And others say, look, it continues to fester. It continues to be something around which terrorists are recruited. And it's not in Israel's best interest, and we're great supporters of Israel, to keep the status quo going forever. Ultimately, they do that, it will not end up being a majority Jewish nation.
And that's really the disaster that is approaching, that if it all ends up becoming one country, then it will not be a
right.
Jewish country. There's
right.
no way because of the birth rates.
That's right.
I guess the big question is, at this point, for the rest of the world, even the other countries in the Middle East, do they really care?
Well, I think that's the issue. And I think some do and some don't, and some do more than others, and so on and so forth. But I think that it's a continuing, festering issue that will continue to generate terrorism. And the truth is, Israel stands in defiance of the UN's resolutions around occupying territory and hanging on to it, and so on and so forth. And it's not a good situation to just say, oh, well, let it keep going, because we just don't know. I mean, I think some would dismiss it and say it doesn't have the currency or the primacy that it had in the past. And I think others, and I'm in that camp, that would say no. I think we have to still always be working to see if there isn't a resolution, because in the end, the two-state solution is the best solution. And getting the parties to move off their intractable differences to get to that just isn't easy to do. They've got to answer to their own political constituencies as well.
How do you do this when you have the PLO and Hamas in separate areas that do not get along? So who do you negotiate with?
Well, I mean, right now we negotiate with the West Bank leadership. Hamas is very difficult. There have been efforts to build, to bridge those differences that have failed. But that's a place, that's where you start. And I think that's what Kerry's effort has been all about. But it's just that I think the... Well, each side just wants to hold on to what they consider to be their biggest cards in a negotiation and don't want to give on them ahead of the other one. You know, that's how negotiation works. And the Palestinians don't want to recognize the state of Israel. That's their one trump. That's their one negotiating card.
Is that even relevant, though? I mean, because that's the discussion I've heard now, which is that, you know, you can still have a negotiation without having... the Palestinians actually say we recognize Israel. If they were to get their own state, they would have their own state.
That's true, but then you'd have a kind of state that doesn't recognize the other. And I think the overall goal is to really bring that area together with certain cohesiveness so that there's good relationships and so on and so forth. You know, the Palestinian card is we're going to the UN and being recognized as a state separate from any kind of recognition we get from Israel. But there are just... ongoing problems that will fester if something isn't resolved.
This has been going on for 51 years.
Right.
I mean, do you think in our lifetime we're going to see peace between Israel
and Palestine? I think we could. I don't know, or it could continue. But you see, I think the consequences of the status quo will continue to escalate. And just as I said, with the Israeli state, as they see that birth rate that compromises a Jewish majority in Israel, and how long can they maintain a system where they're second-class citizens? The world, you know, we're great supporters of Israel, but one of the concerns of Israel is that Europe and the rest of the world, not so much so, and support the Palestinians' aspiration to have a nation of their own. So Israel feels that pressure from everybody else. We protect them. But, you know, how long can that go on? And if the Palestinians pursue a separate status through the United Nations, what does that mean? I mean, I think there are very good reasons to press ahead.
Well, are you surprised at the fuss that was raised over the phrase occupied territories when Chris Christie used it?
I know that in this country that's been, it's interesting, you know, I travel a lot abroad and I spend time in the Middle East and so on and so forth. It's just automatically called the occupied territories. But Israel resists that name because it has a certain opprobrium attached to it. The rest of the world does use that. It is the case, in fact, they are occupied territories, but Israel chooses to call them just the territories, such that they would prefer to erase the occupied, which is the status, the current status.
All right, let's take a break. More with Jill Derby when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Steffen, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Jill Derby, and we're talking about the Middle East. As you look at Syria, what a circle that has been. That we could end up seeing Assad staying in power because the opposition is a disaster, but it's also a disaster for every country that surrounds them because of all the refugees.
Well, it's a conundrum, and what can we do? You have to remember that Saddam Hussein and his invasion of Kuwait, we pushed him back. We wanted him to go. It was controversial at the time when George Bush Senior was the president, and some felt he should have continued on in to Baghdad and taken Saddam Hussein out. Didn't do that. We lived with Saddam Hussein for another decade, and that happens. Not that we had good relations. Of course, we didn't. We had imposed sanctions on Iraq and just really increased those. But we lived with it because at the time we didn't feel there was anything that we could do about it. It may be the situation, sadly, with Assad, who's in terms of the international community, oh my God, goodness, you know, he's been declared a war criminal, somebody who uses chemical weapons against his own people. I mean, he has
as
no standing.
As did his father.
Yeah, he has no standing. But if it is what it is and nobody's willing to change the situation, then that's what you live with. Hard to imagine his being able to pull Syria back together with the current boundaries and the current groups that
are
in Syria.
It's kind of like Yugoslavia.
It is a bit. And there's a lot of conversation about that, whether or not, you know, there needs to be a division of it. He certainly controls certain. Damascus has always been his stronghold and out to the coast, Latakia, which is where the Russians have their port and a great interest. But there are other parts of the country, up in the northeast, that's Kurdish country. And Sunnis have their areas up around Aleppo and in other parts of Syria. So it's hard to say, but what's anybody going to do? And the fact is his military seems to be winning that struggle.
When you look at countries like Jordan and the amount of refugees they've taken in, I mean, do you see the possibility of that country collapsing because of the weight of that?
I don't know that it will collapse, and I don't think we would let. I think there are other countries in the Middle East, the Gulf countries are supportive, wouldn't let that happen. The burden on Jordan is enormous. You know, I was recently in Turkey and talking to somebody in the Turkish government, and they're very proud of their treatment of the refugees. They've actually managed that very well. I mean, they're living in trailers, and they have a whole city developed there with all the services, electricity and healthcare and so on and so forth.
And education.
They've managed that at great expense, and good for the Turks. They've taken those people in. Jordan has less resources to do that, and they're struggling with the burden of it. But I don't think that Jordan will collapse out of it.
When you were having conversations in Turkey, did the subject of Israel and Turkey's relations come up?
That topic didn't come up, but I mean, it'll be interesting to see. They've certainly had their issues over the last year or two, but it's in the interest of each of them, I think, to try to repair that. But those things happen rather slowly, and Erdogan sees himself as a leader in the Muslim world, trying to represent moderate Muslim democracy, and so he has many constituencies out there that limit his range of options. So we'll see.
What do you think about Putin and Crimea and the potential for, an increased Cold War? Or is that just really something that is being discussed but is not likely?
Well, I just don't want to weigh in on that. I don't think so. But, judging Putin, I wouldn't have thought that he would have taken Crimea, just given his membership in the G8 and just his sense of integration, if you will. But now I think we're all thinking maybe we misjudged this man. I understand that he wants to reclaim Russia's prior standing as a world power and the great empire it once was, whatever. And certainly some of those countries are primarily ethnic Russian. But I think he's starting to realize the price he'll pay. And I think that some of those oligarchs over there that are now frozen out of the U.S. and British banks, et cetera, will start putting pressure on him. And I think our stance that we're now going to protect the Balkans, Lithuania and those Baltic states, I think that will give him pause. So I'm optimistic we're not back to the Cold War.
And when you look at the budget cuts that the military is facing in this country, there are a lot of people that are concerned, but I don't think they realize just how huge those budgets are. And those are just the public budgets. They don't include the black budgets. Is it time for us to retrench?
Retrench instead
militarily?
Of... militarily? Yeah, and I think Robert Gates has spoken to that, and I think Chuck Hagel has spoken to that, and I've looked at... Robert Gates' book really talks about how he cut back and pulled back. We live in a different era, and we have to recognize that, and we're not going to be involved in huge land wars anymore, and we have to really have a smart military. But, the country needs resources at home for the kinds of programs that build a healthy society, and I always will weigh in on having the resources go there, and let's have a smart military that can keep us safe, but probably can't police the whole world. Although that's another topic as well, because right. We need to maintain our presence and our power position in the whole world, really, but we can't police it.
All right, and that's where we got to leave it. Jill Derby, always, thank you very much. We really appreciate it.
Okay.
We'll be right back after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
When it comes to delivering energy, a lot happens behind the scenes. NV Energy generates thousands of megawatts of energy and moves it along miles and miles of transmission and distribution lines to Nevada homes and businesses. So when you flip a switch or push a button, there are no surprises.
Pizza Baron has opened a new Sparks Spanish Springs location. As a way to thank you, Sparks, the Pizza Baron is offering 30 wings and a large pizza for just $21.95.
We delivered for 40 years.
Piping hot all over town.
Watch Lawyers, Guns, and Money with criminal defense attorney David Houston every Sunday afternoon at 4:30 on KRNV News 4. Nevada is one of six states chosen for the development of unmanned aerial vehicles, or drones. This week, Marilyn Mora, president and CEO of the Reno Tahoe Airport Authority, stops by to discuss UAV technology research at the Stead Airport. Lawyers, Guns, and Money focuses on issues and people that make a difference in your life. Join criminal defense attorney David Houston this Sunday afternoon at 4:30 here on KRNV News 4.
So for only $10 down and $10 a month, I can work out on new equipment and go from the bike to the treadmill to the ab machine and watch TV the whole time without anyone judging me? All for just $10 down and $10 a month?
Yep, all that for just $10 down, $10 a month.
Wow. Selfie high five.
Until April 10th, join Planet Fitness for $10 down and $10 a month. We're not a gym, we're Planet Fitness.
Pete Pizza Baron has opened a new Sparks Spanish Springs location. As a way to thank you, Sparks, the Pizza Baron is offering 30 wings and a large pizza for just $21.95.
We've delivered for 40 years.
Piping hot all over town.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, it's going to be a very dull PowerPoint. No, I'm kidding. Howard Rosenberg is here, professor of art and art education, and also trustee of the Washoe County School District. Stacy Woodbury is the executive director of the Nevada State Medical Association, and Michael Hackett is with Allris Consulting. Pleasure to have you all here. I'm going to start with you guys because Howard's going to jump in. But I held this story until he was here, which is the idea of unionizing college athletes. Your thoughts on this, Mr. Hackett?
I'll be honest with you. I haven't given this too much thought with the recent developments. But back when I was in college and playing sports and all of that, I really felt that because of the money generated by these athletes for these universities, I thought that they should get paid for what they're doing, get paid in lieu of scholarships, because unfortunately we see with a lot of these gifted one, especially Division One athletes, a lot of them don't go to class. So why waste a scholarship on somebody who's never going to be in class? Pay them. If they want to get a degree in football or basketball or something like that, go ahead, let them pursue that. But kind of take the academic piece out of it in terms of offering a scholarship and give them financial incentives to play their sport, whatever it is they want to do. If they want to go to class, then they should be able to afford it.
Stacy?
I have to disagree with that. College is a learning institution, and it's a place to go and get an education. And if you're a good football player and you can get a scholarship, that's one thing. But I think we do a great disservice to ourselves to think that we're going to give a degree in football.
Well, when you look at what some of these athletes do, they're just going through the motions academically.
They should try to get into the NFL early and not go to college.
Professor Rosenberg.
Up until a few years ago, I would probably have agreed. I know the kids well. I have a number of athletes in my classes. I've come to the conclusion that there are two kinds of athletes, and they're upfront about what they're there for, which is fine. When they accept a scholarship, they have agreed to go to class, to do the jobs that they're supposed to be doing. They work very, very hard. They're up at 5 and 6 o'clock in the morning. They practice for hours. Then they come to class. I've got kids that come to a late class from a 4:30 practice. They come early to make a 4 o'clock class with me because I close the door and lock it. You're not there on time. You don't get in. That's the end of that. Mm. They don't have a chance to eat. So I tell them, bring your food. You can eat while I'm talking. Eat quietly and make sure your mouths are closed. And then we'll get from there. They have the right to learn as much as they possibly can, to practice what they love to do, which is football, basketball, whatever it happens to be. Those kids that are really serious about what they're doing, they graduate. We've got a good graduation rate up at the university. Mm-hmm. I have one young man now who's in his last semester. He stopped school. He went to play basketball. It didn't work the way he hoped it would. He came back. He's finishing school, and he's going to play basketball up in Canada. He gets what he wants. He has a degree. Mm-hmm. We can be proud of being able to graduate him. So it's that kind of thing.
All right, but so Howard, you were on the Board of Regents for 12 years, and you did something, to my memory, that you'd never done before, which is you started attending all the games.
Yes.
Okay, so what was the difference in your thought before you went to the games and now? And then be brief so these guys can jump in.
Okay. It's really very simple. When I first got elected to the Board of Regents, first meeting was in Las Vegas. Dr. Harder, Carol Harder, who was the president of UNLV, said, I'll see you at the basketball game tonight. And I said, no, you won't. She said, why not? I said, because basketball bores the living daylights out of me. She said, Howard, you have to come. I said, why? She said, otherwise you'll be known as an against sports regent. So I went to the basketball game. You want to know something? It's really rather interesting when you know what they're actually doing. Nobody ever bothered to show me. And I was a fat little kid who never played sports. Hello, I'm learning. I also learned that a lot of our athletes think differently, very creatively, if you know what to ask them to do. So teachers learn the same way that athletes learn. It's an interactive situation. I've learned a hell of a lot, and I have a lot of respect for them.
All right, but Stacey, let's get back to the issue that we started out with, which is paying athletes, unionizing them and paying them.
You know, I think if you want to get paid to play professional sports, there's avenues to do that, and you don't have to go to college to do it if you're good enough. I think if you're going to go to college, you need to give, and you're going to get a scholarship. I think that you need to be working towards an education, and I don't think we should pay someone to play a college sport and not get a degree. I think that's just...
When you look at how much money is in this, though, yeah. It just seems... unfair.
Well, yeah, I mean, exactly. When you look at, if you look at it from a management labor type of thing, yes, it's inherently unfair. But I think the when you talk about these athletes aren't getting paid, they're getting paid right now.
Yes.
There's boosters and all of that are feeding these people money under the table, whatever, to make sure that they are as comfortable as possible. So,
how would jump in?
You need to be careful there. I that's not supposed to be happening.
Right.
And I hope to heaven it isn't.
But it does.
But they are being paid. A lot of the kids come from out of state. Their out of state is waived. Their scholarships cost a great deal of money. Mm-hmm. We learned a long time ago that you can't just say, all right, we're waiving your fees. Money has to be put aside to pay for it. Mm-hmm. We get an awful lot of flack about how much money this coach makes and that coach makes
But the big question here, Howard, which you didn't address in your answer so far, should they be getting paid?
No. They are getting paid. It's a question of how the pay is given.
But in comparison to how much money there is in the sport?
Sam, I don't know.
And that's
I really don't know. I wish I did.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you all very much. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
We tell our clients we're like a train heading to the courthouse. And unless the insurance company throws enough money on the tracks to derail our train, we're not going to stop.
That's right.
Go lightly in Vanna. 222-3333.
With AT&T, you call the shots. Only pay for the services you need in your bundle.
Hurry and call now while you can still get internet for $15 and home phone for $20 per month. Or start with U-verse high-speed internet and add the other services you want to get the bundle you need.
With U-verse high-speed internet, you'll get the speed you need at a price you'll love. Get wireless service and home high-speed internet with a Wi-Fi gateway to connect all your Wi-Fi devices. And save on your mobile data usage at home. Add U-verse TV, and on most plans, you'll get a total home DVR included for life.
So call now to choose any bundle, like internet for $15 and home phone for $20 per month. Why wait? Ask about our next day installation.
Go ahead, call the shots, and only pay for the services you need in your bundle. With AT&T, it's whatever works for you.
Discover the textures of the Starving Artist's Art Sale. Discover the beauty that real hand-painted oils can bring to your home. Original sofa-sized paintings sold elsewhere for hundreds of dollars, as low as $19. Smaller paintings from $9, and absolutely nothing over $69. This Saturday only, discover the Starving Artist's Art Sale. In Reno at the Ramada Hotel, original sofa-sized oil paintings from $19. This Saturday only, 10 to 4.
It's Bassett's three-day sale. This weekend only, save 30% on any one item and 25% on everything else. Plus, get 0% financing for 36 months. Bassett's three-day sale. Save now through Sunday.
As always, you're watching the Bassett News 24 hours a day. Next week, University Chancellor Dan Clay and Karen and Charlie Abel.